Well, hello and welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Helix Show. I'm so glad you joined us today. You know, I woke up this morning, I was thinking about this show I'm going to do on attitude, right? So what did I do? I went, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to wake up with an attitude of gratitude. So I'm in a good place to do this show. And so I am. I'm in a wonderful place. But you know, I've learned over the years that if you you want to change your life, right, you got to change your attitude. It's just that simple. For most people, we're programmed into thinking that certain attitudes are okay. You know, being upset, being sassy, giving people sarcasm, giving them feedback, you know, criticizing, critiquing. You know, I got the attitude of the ego sometimes, right? Now, we all go through that, but the question I always have as a coach over the last 30 years is, how's that working for you, right? How's that working for you? The other question I ask, you know, is that if you got a poor attitude, I would also ask is that, you know, how's that a lot like the rest of your life, right? Well, as a result of a poor attitude, how's your life getting better and better? Or maybe not, right? Maybe it's not going anywhere, but kind of straight line, right? You know, so today is really an important show. I've got a very special guest who's a doctor today. She's going to talk about her new book. We're going to be talking about relationship and attitude and how you can really change up your attitude. In fact, you know, as you probably know, right? You've been listening to this show for a while. Maybe you just tuned in. Just tuned in. I want to say this. You can change everything and anything if you set your intention, you get on the quest to change, you get the professional help that you need, you read the books that you need, you reprogram your thinking, and you let go of some of the emotional baggage that maybe you've had. I can guarantee you can heal just about anything, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual, whatever it is, you can heal it if you get on the quest. All right. Enough of me ranting on this. I want to get to my guest because I'm so excited to have her. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have my guest. Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm with my very special guest, Dr. Deborah Mandel. Deborah, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. It's so funny when you were talking about in your introduction about attitudes a long time ago, many moons ago, I did a speaking seminar. I don't like public speaking, by the way. However, I did it. It was called Attitudes Are Contagious. Is Yours Worth Catching?
Oh, I love that. Well, listen, before we take a deep dive into the attitude, let me introduce you to my audience. You know, so Dr. Deborah has authored 5 books, including her new release, Sassy and Rude, Her New Attitude, which has been featured on multiple national television radio shows. She's a relationship expert and has co-hosted her own podcast, achieving over 1 million listeners. Whether in print or on air or in office, Deborah delivers her message that it's never too late to overcome adversity and learn to thrive. Adversity and learn to thrive. You're aligned with my message, man. We're so alike, like-minded there. It's never too late. You can change up anytime, right?
Absolutely. And that's what's so important for us. It's so empowering when we get this sense of knowing that if we really look at things in a new way, with a new perspective, we can see things differently and then have a different experience, right? Because it's so much about how we observe the world that determines our interpretations and then our feelings about it. So oftentimes we just go into, how do we change what we're seeing? Is it really what we're seeing subjectively, or maybe there's a different version?
Isn't that interesting? Of course, how we internally see the world is how we outpicture the world, and the world reflects back to us. But you know, a lot of times, you know, folks, I know, you know, there's things aren't working for them, but they don't know the first steps to take. Around attitude? Let's talk about that. Maybe that's the first step. I don't know. But what's the first step to take if you're in a place where, you know, maybe you're living kind of mediocre, you're not really, you know, nothing's great or nothing's bad, but it's just like you feel stagnant. You feel like nothing's going to move for you.
Go
ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I would say that that's more of a survivor mentality. Like, I'm here, I'm enduring, I'm hanging out with what's in front of me, but I'm not really working it. I'm not really looking at it. I'm not really dissecting what's really present and how I can make changes. So I really vote for thriving, right? So we have victim mentality, we have survivor mentality, and then we have a thriver mentality. And a thriver mentality is freedom. That does not mean that we have endless amounts of choices about everything. Sometimes our choices really stink. Sometimes the two options available or the three are not that great, but at least we have the power to choose which ones we want.
Well, and I think there's another piece to that too. I think it's like, you know, the good news is if you got yourself into a situation that you don't really care for, you got yourself there. So that means that you must have the power to change that, right? You just have to change up your thinking, your attitude, and maybe some of the actions you're taking.
And oftentimes we don't actually recognize what's our own responsibility and accountability and what really lies outside of our control. And sometimes we're trying to take charge of that which we have no power to change or do anything with, and we forget about what we do. So it's really important that we own our own actions, reactions, our feelings, because that's within our realm of what we can choose.
I love that. Well, listen, in your new book, and I'm gonna highlight it in just a minute, but in the book, you talk about the mother-daughter dynamic. And boy, I tell you, I've sure in our own family, I know the mother-daughter dynamic, and it can be challenging for any mom, and it can be challenging for any daughter. So let's talk about that in the complexities of this, and maybe give some people some solutions as to how to have a harmonious, peaceful relationship with their mother and daughter. Is that
any? Yeah. I think we don't look at it as having an end result. We instead look at it as a process that we're trying to figure out along the way. For instance, I just spent time with my daughter over the Thanksgiving holiday, and we had a couple challenges. And it's not easy for me. It actually breaks my heart when we're not doing well together. But we also have so many moments that are just precious and tender and wonderful. So it is a work in progress. I did write this book, a book proposal, actually. When you write a book these days, you're usually doing a proposal. So you get the publisher, and then they do that whole process, and then they decide to give you an advance and write the book. But I had written this years back when she was still a late teen, and we had many more and different challenges then. But the whole concept is that the mother-daughter relationship is so precious, but it's also very tender, and it can be very tricky. And we take a lot of our own baggage from our own relationships with our moms, and we filter that into our relationship with our daughters. And so it's a book about understanding harmony, disharmony, and repair. It's a very important concept.
Harmony, disharmony, and repair. I want to focus on the repair for a second. It seems like if a mom's doing a good job, she might be wounding her child in some way, not physically. I'm talking mentally, emotionally, not meaning to, you know, and you know, maybe, you know, setting a boundary that the daughter doesn't like, right? You know, maybe in high school, I mean, you can't go out at this time of night. But the daughter feels so distraught because that was going to be the guy that she was going to meet. And mom's always this way. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they come up with stories, right? How do we heal that story and repair that?
Right. So this book is primarily for mothers with adult daughters, where the relationship now is at a different level, because there's so many books out there about the developmental process of raising a daughter. But now she's an adult and she's her own person. She's doing her own thing. Maybe she's still somewhat dependent. But I talk about this concept of the too nice mom. And I actually really want to underline this because I found this really fun to explore what nice actually means. We talk about things like be nice to this person, be nice. But nice actually means pretending not to know. So we're actually living in a little bit of denial of life. And my favorite story I have is when my daughter was about 4 years old and we're at a grocery store and there is a gentleman in line in front of us and he did have a rather large nose. And my daughter points to him in her innocent four-year-old way and says, "Mommy, that's the biggest nose I've ever seen." So my heart goes, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this right now? Is this guy going to be insulted because she said it right in front of him?" He was the kindest person on the planet. He literally took her finger and said, "Well, yeah, do you want to touch it? It is pretty big." And we had this little laugh and it was wonderful. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I got to teach her to be nice. She has to be nice. But really, I want to teach her to be kind. So that's, we have this concept of the too nice mom, which is somebody who's oftentimes really not saying her truth, not really living in the world as it is in front of her, but always trying to pretend. And sometimes we do a disservice to our daughters when we don't live in what's really real.
You know, I think of the too nice mom also as the mom that wants to be, you know, you're talking older daughters, you know, that maybe the daughter's 21, 22, 25, and the mom's trying to fit in with the daughter's crowd, be really nice. You know, I mean, what's that about? You know, I've seen that before too.
That's the friendly Frida syndrome I talk about in the book, which is I want to be part of everything about your life. And we have no separation in terms of time or age or anything. But, you know, to some degree, that can be very intrusive to an adult daughter. It can be like we want to be close and we want to be connected. We'll always be the mom for sure. And we want to be friends in that way that's really yummy and delicious, but we don't want to overstep our boundaries. Our daughters get to have their own lives, their own separate sense of self.
Okay. You know, in the book, you give some specific advice about repairing that strained mother-daughter relationship. You know, in the book, I know you challenged them. Can you give us some examples of maybe how you do that?
Absolutely. What's so important in my work and for people to get into that what we calling thriving mentality, the thriving attitude, is to recognize where we have control and where we don't. So moms have brought in a unique set of their own perspectives on raising a child, raising a daughter, raising a son, raising whomever, right? We bring in our own set of expectations. So it's very important that we understand what our expectations are, that we get conscious of those, that we're really taking accountability and an inventory of our own wounds, our own experiences, our own emotional challenges that we don't want to impose on our daughters, particularly as they get older, because we want to have that unique relationship where we're not necessarily having to parent them all the time, but we can actually be a bigger and better part of their lives without all of that responsibility. So it's really that ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. That ownership. You know, there's, I'm thinking of a situation where a mother and daughter are estranged from one another because the daughter doesn't like the choices that mom is making. And, you know, I think that's kind of a common lament sometimes. Not necessarily estranged where they're not seeing each other, right? But a lot of times daughters don't like what moms are doing, and sometimes moms don't like what daughters are doing. How do we resolve that? How do they resolve that?
This is probably a good time to introduce this concept of separation, individuation, developmental process.
Okay, so I just noticed our time. I got to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we will dive right into that. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back to everybody. This is your host, Kendi Fuster, and I'm speaking with Dr. Deborah Mandel today. We're talking about her new book. And Deborah, I'm going to let you to dive into this subject that you had just introduced prior to our break.
Yeah, so separation individuation process in the psychological world is basically that which we all go through, dads, sons, mothers, daughters, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, etc., where we have this unique experience where we determine that we are a separate human being, but we're also a unique human being. And it's a real big challenge because we do get a lot of our influence from our caregivers, from teachers, from other people in our lives who are very influential. So that process can be very challenging for many of us, particularly if we have a parent who is very intrusive or doesn't understand boundaries, isn't respectful, or goes the other way and is just so hands-off that, okay, just make it on your own, do your own thing, do your own world. And then that becomes also challenging. So this concept of how do we have this healthy relationship with our daughters as they get older is to really respect that separation individuation process. So, you know, your daughter may have some ideas about what that looks like for her, but we also want to be careful that it's not so daughter driven that we lose ourselves as well. It's also important that we pay attention to our own needs, our own experiences, but we really need to look at what our expectations are. That's a big key component to this book.
Well, as you know, I think there's pieces, there's boundaries that have to be set on both sides, mom and daughter. Is that addressed in the book? Do you talk about that?
Setting boundaries with love with limits, limits that we impose because we do need to take care of ourselves, right? Sometimes in this generation in particular, I don't know if you notice this. Do you have any kids of your own?
Yeah, I have three daughters.
Okay.
I want your grandkids, yeah.
All right. So you're living the dream. All right. So, you know, what are we looking for in terms of how we address who they are, what they are, but also making sure that we take care of ourselves because our children can really pull at our heartstrings. I know mine does. You know, she says one little thing that makes me feel guilty. I'm like, oh my God, because I don't want to be the mom to her that my mom couldn't be. To me, I mean, I want to be the mom to her that my mom was not able to be for me. My mom died very young. She was only 58 years old, and I had just had my daughter. So she never got to be part of being a grandparent to my daughter. She did for my niece. And so it was really sad because my mom was a sort of a tortured soul who did not work on her own self, who didn't understand how to really heal some of her own very abusive childhood that she had. So she was, you know, she was very heavy-handed in terms of her mothering. She was such a loving person inside. I could see that, but she wouldn't show it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens a lot of times, and you know, is, and I know you can attest to this, is that if the mom didn't do the work, then the kids get to do the work because they're the ones that have the brunt, that kids are carrying the pain that the mother didn't resolve. Maybe in a little different way, but they're still carrying the family pain. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important that as the mom, we take the responsibility of looking at what part of that are we contributing to that dis-ease, if you will, that part of the relationship that isn't going to work. So it's really about creating what I talk about as a healing tree. And that looks like really taking ownership. And sometimes, by the way, probably in your audience, you have a lot of people who have very yummy relationships with their daughters, some who maybe have a neutral relationship, and some may have a really bad relationship, and bad in the sense that it's just filled with anxiety and conflict and turmoil, and there's fewer good days than there are bad days in terms of the interaction. So in that realm, there's really more work to do because at some points you're going to have to set some boundaries that are going to be difficult, like, hey, I want to heal this with you, but I'm also not willing to take abuse. I'm also not willing to be emotionally blackmailed by you because I've made these mistakes. We own our mistakes, but then we also have to have some grace and compassion for ourselves as well as our daughters. And we want to invite that in. So I have give some tools and ideas of how you can invite that in without depleting yourself.
I love that. I love that a lot. I want to put on the screen here. I'd like to put a picture of the book up here. Let's go put that up there. And all right, we might have to move over a little bit just so we can see it. Okay, the other way. There we go.
There we go.
So Sassy and Rude, Dr. Mandel, PhD, Her New Attitude. And you can get this at, I take it on Amazon. On where can we get Barnes & Noble, or they order it there? Or?
Yeah, online booksellers.
Booksellers. Okay, you can get it anywhere. And this sounds like a fascinating book. I wish my daughter and my wife had that earlier on, you know. And but I guess it's never too late, right? They can always learn. There's a lot in here to learn. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely, it's never too late, right? And we can pick up a healing process at any point in our lifespan. In fact, I was saying a little bit about my mom. If my mom and I could have had that, even, you know, the year before she passed, somewhere in there where we could have had that gentle experience, it'd be wonderful. But, you know, there's so many things that are outside of our control. So we can only, again, the reminder here is that we can only do what we can do ourselves. So we can do all the work, and our daughters may or may not want to invite us in if they've pushed us away. Yeah. Or they might want to invite us in a way that we learn isn't really that comfortable or actually healthy.
Well, you know, I always think it takes two parties to create drama. And I know just in my own life with my father that my dad was very loving, kind, caring, but he's also had the other side. He was very demanding, loved to tell you what to do, when to do, how to do it, knew how to use guilt, shame, remorse, and all that stuff, really throw it at you. He's really good at that. And, you know, I remember later in his life, I thought, you know, Dad, I'm just so tired of having this drama with him. And I thought, what does he want? What does he want? And it came to me, he really just wants to be heard. And so I just would listen to him and just agree. And quite frankly, that healed our relationship and changed everything. So I'm not saying that that's an end-all, be-all for everybody here, but I know that there are, you know, we have a part in it. Right. So if there's drama going on, I think it's so important to look at your side of it. Speaking of that guilt and shame piece, what role does that play in hindering healthy connections? And yeah.
First of all, I love your share. Thank you so much for offering that, because that's so beautiful. You were able to actually step inside your own adult self for that moment and look at your dad as a human being, not somebody who was supposed to be teaching you or always the leader, but somebody who was also just a human with all the human needs that we all have, which is just desire for affirmation, attention, affection, adoration, validation, right? That's what we all crave, that. Whatever role we're in, we crave that. So anytime we can step out and we can do that. But for so many of us, we were shamed and guilted as how we were raised. And so when we become the parents to our own children, we are programmed kind of to do the same thing, or we do the opposite. We're so overly indulgent in kindness and making sure that every single thing that they do, they feel like they are the top of the world, that we create an excessive level of entitlement. So the balance in the book is really about how do you create this level of gratitude as well as healthy self-entitlement, but also compassion for one another. And it's a challenge, but it's workable and it's doable.
Well, you know, I love the title I'm putting up there, Sassy and Rude. Okay. So we haven't talked about the sassy part of that yet. So I want to, I got to take a break, and we come back. Let's dive into, you know, how we deal with a sassy daughter, right? How do we deal with it? Okay. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm hoping my audience is enjoying the show as much as I am. Yeah. So my question to you is this, Dr. Deborah. You know, what advice do you have for moms that are dealing with sassy daughters or vice versa, right?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, is to try to understand the source of it, right? A lot of times our daughters are trying to, and you know, I wrote this book for mothers and daughters just because that is a very tender and amazing relationship, but so is mothers and sons and fathers and daughters and fathers and sons. And a lot of this is applicable just to our children and our adult children. And how do we deal with them with kindness and love, but also set our boundaries when someone's just being downright nasty. In fact, the original title of this book was Why Is She Such a Bitch? But the publisher wasn't going to go with that one. So I had to change the title. So I came up with
that one. Okay.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you, one of my other books, which is Dump That Chump, started out as Chuck That Schmuck, but they didn't like that either. So. I'm a little sassy also.
Yeah, I get your little sassiness. That's good.
And I actually have a little scale that's just fun. You know, none of these things are rocket science or done with a lot of data. But, you know, what's your daughter's sassy factor? You know, is it really high up on the scale or is it lower on the scale? What does sassy look like? I'm talking about sassy in the realm of rolling the eyes or constantly criticizing mom, like the daughter who's just saying, "Mom, you're stupid. You don't know anything. You know, just get out of my life. Why are you so intrusive?" When the mom is really doing the best she can to really be there and be kind and be present, but doesn't even know how to move around. It's like walking on eggshells. That can be, you know, quite a challenge. So what do you do? What do you do is you take stock and what is my role here? What am I doing that may be intrusive? Maybe your daughter's telling you something and you're not listening. So listen, take a listen, right? If your daughter's saying, this is what I said something this weekend to my daughter and she rolled her eyes. She was really mad. I did. I crossed a boundary. I said something that was meant for me to just share with her. And I said it in a setting where we had some friends of ours who were with us at this light show. And I said something and it probably was really rude. So I had to stop and say, hey, I'm the rude one. I take responsibility for this. I'm sorry.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you know, I had the same issue with my daughter this week. You know, we're going to have Christmas over her house. And, you know, and I started overstepping my, I guess, her boundaries with telling her, you know, what we'd like to have. And she went, "Dad, I got this." And I went, "Oh, she's not happy about this." And I just, you know, I wrote her back. I said, "Well, you know, just ideas, you know, just kidding." You know, I mean, I think you got to be playful with this, right? You know, sometimes we get so serious as that, you know, especially when text, you know, you don't really know the energy behind the text. You can hear the text, you know, you just got to be a little joyful, a little happy. What about compassion? How do you bring compassion into this in the book?
100%. Let me just mention off on texting, because I think trying to have a healing experience in a text message could go well. It's just because we all have our subtle nuances of how we communicate. And so we miss out on body language, eye contact, the visuals, all the things that are so important in communication. So if you are having a struggle, then I really say, get a phone call, get in person if you can, do something that you actually can get some visual. I just think that that's better. Compassion. That was your question. 100%. Compassion is the most important thing, but both directed both ways, towards self and toward other. Because sometimes our children, they expect a lot of us as parents. We're imperfect. We are imperfect. And they will sometimes have really incredibly unrealistic expectations of how perfect we're supposed to be when we can't be. So compassion towards self, so important.
Yeah, that's good. I just mentioned, I know I have a personal rule. My wife taught me this rule. If an email or a text goes sideways, we never respond. It's a never. We pick up the phone and talk, and that's the most courageous thing you can do. You know, sometimes we don't like to be courageous, but that you really need to, because otherwise it'll just keep going sideways. That's been my experience. I bet that's been your experience.
Yes, and your program is so wonderful because it is all about bringing out courage in ourselves, which is so important in our lives, is to take steps that don't always feel comfortable. They're not always something that feels good. When a friend of mine once said, "Deborah, just because you made a good decision doesn't mean it feels good." I'm like, "Oh, you're right." You know, so with our children, sometimes we have to set boundaries that don't feel good because we want to be this all loving, all encompassing, all supportive. And they don't like it when we set rules and boundaries that says, you know what, I'm not going to give you everything you want all the time. Sorry, don't have it. Even if I had it, I don't want to give it to you all. You know, like I earned it. I want it. I'll keep it. I'll share.
Well, sometimes I guess my way of saying that, sometimes better give a resentment than get money, and not meaning you're trying to hurt somebody. But it's like you're setting a boundary and that might give somebody a resentment. But you know what? If you don't set the boundary, then you'll have the resentment, right? You'll feel like you should have done something.
And I heard a saying that I love. Resentments are like swallowing poison and waiting for the other guy to die.
Now that's really profound because, you know, I know that there are some family members that I know of in my family that have a really hard time of forgiving and letting go. So I'm wondering what your advice is on that.
It's always an interesting question because I know there's so much written about out there about forgiveness. And I have a kind of a, I'm not going to say it's unique because I think many people have this as well, is that you can't really forgive someone who doesn't acknowledge that they've wronged you or hurt you. You can let it go though, right? But forgiveness is an action that you're giving to somebody who's taking accountability and responsibility for something that they may have done that wronged you, right? So if I say to you, hey, I'm really sorry that I hurt your feelings right now. Now you can forgive me. But I'm like, I didn't hurt your feelings. How do you forgive me? Because that's an action toward the event. But can you let it go? Can you decide that, oh, Deborah's just like too much into her own head right now. She just cannot see this as something that she understands this probably wasn't very kind. So I'm gonna let it go. And sometimes that's valuable. And sometimes we let something go in a denial way, which is not so healthy. Sometimes we let something go because we really come to acceptance that somebody doesn't share our viewpoint, doesn't share the experience that we have. So there are different kinds of letting go. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, letting go, of course, is a forgiveness and letting go is a choice. And, you know, I know that, you know, if I were to take this pen and drop it, right? You know, it took willpower to pick it up. It took willpower to let it go. It was a choice. And, you know, for a lot of things, that's how fast I know that we can forgive. Now, you know, obviously, this is somebody really injures another person or is abusive or what have you, or keeps doing something over and over again, it's very difficult to forgive that, right? You got, like you said, there's got to be some acknowledgement that this is going to stop before somebody can really go, all right, maybe I can let this go now.
Yeah. And I want to be really clear that this book, Sassy and Rude, Her New Attitude, is not for mothers and daughters where either side is being abusive. Or the person feels an abusive. I mean, like if there's physical toxicity or, you know, unbearable name calling, like, do we all say things like, hey, why are you being such a bitch? Yes, sorry. That is what happens sometimes. We will say things that we aren't being our best selves or being so kind. You know, why are you being a jerk? Why are you doing this? But when somebody's like outright just maligning somebody's character, attacking them, completely brutal and abusive. No, that requires a whole different set of tools. And sometimes that would require therapy, all kinds of other avenues. But this book is really for, you know, you got some struggles, you have some conflicts, you go out for a wonderful time and you have this blip that comes up over and over again. All right, what is it? What's going on? What hasn't been sealed? What has not been healed? What has not been solved? And then there's concepts of what you can do to do that.
I love that because, you know, you're really talking that the folks right now that are, they have a sense of awareness, a sense of consciousness that things can really change. And, you know, a lot of times they're part of the problem and they're also part of the solution. And, you know, if you can step into that, I think that that helps everybody. You know, can readers implement the solution-oriented tools that you have in those exercises in the book on their own, or does it, do they need therapists? What do you say to that?
So I came up with, so it's kind of like, you know, how to bring back the sugar and spice in your not so nice adult daughter, right? And by the way, the not so nice can go toward the mom as well. So I have in the end of each chapter and during some chapters, there's a sugar and spice exercise. So it's something that people can do hands-on. Sometimes it's just about journaling. Sometimes it's about writing healing letters. Sometimes it's doing inventory. There's all kinds of different things that we do along the way that help us with this process to create that healing tree and that we can develop the fruit that we're really looking for.
I love that. All right. Listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, one of the ways that we really learn is through successes of others. So I'd like you to share some of the success stories that you've had, individuals that have read the book or work with you that we can all learn from. All right, I'll be right back and we'll do that. Well, welcome back, buddy. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with Dr. Deborah Mandel, and we are talking about success stories in this segment. So, Deborah, let's talk about some of the successes that you've had with people that work with you and that are in the book that people can learn from.
Sure, absolutely. So first of all, the book is loaded with examples of clients that I've worked with, mother-daughter duos, and their challenges and their struggles and how they have come to better experiences in their relationship. So those are very meaningful. So I won't get into all of those, but also understand that in those stories, I have to change all the identifying details because as a psychologist, I'm very protective of the identity, anonymity of my clients. And so some of them are, you know, they're not entirely real, but they are real. And like, I know they're real, but some of the data is a little bit different. Anyway, one that comes to mind is this mother and daughter who came to me, and I'd been seeing the mom on and off for a little while. And then she's like, you know, the main core issue that I have in my life is my relationship with my daughter, who had been one of the launching and then had to launch back at home. Basically, she had moved out and then she was living with mom, and the mom was so excited to have her daughter back home. However, she was treating her more like she was a teenager, and now this woman was full-fledged in her adulthood, in her 20s, and she had her own life. She had her own job. She had her own this. She had her own that. But the daughter also, as is very common, regressed. So she acted more like a child than an adult in the home of her mom, and she had all these expectations of her mom. So the daughter was willing to come in as well, and we went through a whole series of understanding, outlining what the boundaries needed to be to have this be a successful mother-daughter experience together. Mom was trying to be overly friendly. She wanted the daughter to be her companion to do all these things. So the mom was divorced and she wasn't dating. And so she was looking upon her daughter to fulfill her life in a way that wasn't her daughter's responsibility. And the daughter was basically now becoming like a teenager, expecting mom to do her laundry and do all this stuff. So we really set up a core kind of roommate situation where they could then work on their relationship separately, but they had to get those rules in place in terms of how the boundaries were going to work with them living together.
So my question to you is, why do your methods work? I'm wondering, why do your methods work?
That's a challenging question. Thank you for that. Why do they work? Well, I'm gonna say I can't give you the scientific answer to that. I haven't tested this in raw science, but I would say I believe that they work because it's about love and compassion and understanding. And when we can bring love and compassion and understanding to any situation, we're bound to have a better result than when we bring anger, self-righteousness, stubbornness. If you think about any interaction you've ever had in your life, if you need to be right and you need to have that completely intact, how well does that go for you? I know it doesn't go well for me. It's like your dad, you were saying, your dad, he just wanted to be validated and acknowledged, right? But when we drive that car so hard, we're bound to be disappointed. So they work because my whole premise is about love, compassion, tenderness, just trying to find understanding and empathy. Empathy is probably the biggest word of all. Empathy.
Well, I think your methods work because of your who you are, your energy, your vibration, the amount of work that you've done, the understanding, the wisdom, the compassion, and the depth of understanding you have about human nature, that you, I'm sure you're probably clairaudient, clairvoyant in some ways, that you can really help individuals to when they're in your presence in reading this book. It's been my experience when you write a book like this, that books gotta write us. We don't write books, and they come through us. And we grow ourselves, we learn, but we also put that energy, that wisdom, that understanding in the pages of the book. And I think that's what you've done here. And I haven't read the book yet, but I just get who you are. I can hardly wait to read the book. And I hope my audience feels the same way. You know, there's not a lot of books out there on this subject with the experience and wisdom that you have, that you've infused it with. So I'm really excited to have my audience have this. Yeah. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Final thoughts, you know, what messages of hope maybe you want our audience to take away with?
Even when we think that something is just not workable, there's probably something that is there that you can find that makes it a little bit more workable, maybe not to the degree that you really hope that it will. And this is a work in progress. So please don't think that this is an easy challenge or an easy task, because relationships are challenging. They are complicated. So have some grace, self-compassion, empathy for your daughter, empathy for yourself, and just try to stay the course and be patient. And sometimes now is not the right time.
I like that. I like that last one. I like that a lot. Well, the book is Sassy and Rude, Her New Attitude, Dr. Deborah Mandel. You can get it wherever books are sold, online, offline.
Online. Yeah.
Online. Good. All right. Dr. Deborah, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate the conversation. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care. And I want to thank all of you for being here today. By the way, you know, this show grows as we grow when you grow, and we, you know, you grow as you pass this on to others and help them to grow. I really believe that. I believe we're all in service to one another. And when you are in greater service to others, it helps you to grow, evolve, develop, and become the best version of your own self. So hope you'll pass it on and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Till next time, you know, you can heal it if you just get on the quest to do that.